right, good morning.
Amen.
Pastor is still away. He has asked me to teach Sunday school for him this morning, which was took me by surprise. Brother Case normally does such an awesome job. And anyhow, I've never taught Sunday school before, so I'm a little nervous this morning. And well, that's not a true statement. I'm a whole lot nervous, okay? So y'all pray for me and be with me. Cut me some slack here. This is the first time I've done it. Pastor is teaching on the book of Daniel. We're studying in chapter 2. He's just about to finish up. He's got just a couple of verses left to do. And I don't know about you, but to me, it's kind of like watching the next episode of your favorite TV show, you know? Every Sunday, I just can't wait to get in there and see what he's going to teach the following Sunday. And I think that's the way it should be for all of us. You know, the Word of God should be very special to us. And the pastor just has a way of bringing out the scriptures to life. And I just really, really enjoy being in this class. I would much rather be sitting over there this morning listening to him than to be here trying to teach you something. It's a little odd for me because I just graduated college myself last year. And the Lord called me into the ministry when I was 47 years old. And I answered the call. And today, well, I've got so many men sitting in here that taught when I was in college, and some of them are still teaching. And so it's odd for me. We got Miss Dr. Harvey sitting over here, or one of our famous English teachers. And so I was in her class, and Brother Dr. Harvey, he's not here this morning. He's not feeling well. We need to remember him in prayer. And we got Brother Hill sitting around right over here, and he taught me. And we got Dr. Lewis, which is back here in teen church this morning. Dr. Pitts, he's over with the Sunday school department, and he was one of my professors. He's on the radio right now about to bust a gut, just waiting for me to say something so he can nail me after church when we go outside. I guarantee you, he'll be sitting right there waiting on me, brother. That's coming. I already know that's coming. I got Dr. Bradley sitting right over here. I mean, this man's like a walking Bible. I tell you what, you know, just amazing what this man teaches. And I would much rather he be standing up here this morning teaching you. But the preacher asked me to do it, so here I am. I got to do it regardless. And I fought with this thing all week long. I'm like, man, how do you teach when you got, you know, people like Dr. Lee and Dr. Nixon, Brother Carter himself, and Brother Cruz, he's taught music to us, and so many others, you know. How do you get up here in front of all these men and teach a Sunday school lesson? You know, that's hard. And the Lord just laid it on my heart. Hey, we're all teaching the same Bible. You know something? Hey, it's not about me. It's not about them. It's about our God. And so that helped me a lot. When the Lord impressed that on my heart, we're teaching the same Bible, no matter who teaches it. As long as we're teaching it out of the King James Bible, it's all going to come out the same. Amen? Some may be a little better at getting, you know, their points across, but I'll just do the best I can. I apologize now. Miss Harvey says, I don't even speak correct. I don't even speak English. I guess it's hillbilly, but whatever it is, I apologize for it now. We're just going to try to make the best of what little bit of time we have this morning and just thank God that hey, we're at least able to gather together and have a Sunday school class. Amen. That's a blessing within itself. And like I said, Brother Mike Case, he's been filling in for the pastor. He does an awesome job. Now, Brother Case, he normally uses visuals. And he's got that little screen up there. He pulls that thing down. He stands up here with that little button, and he's clicking away, and that thing's just doing all kinds of stuff. If I had to deal with that this morning, by the time we got it down and ready to go, you would not want me teaching anything on it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a little more old school than Brother Case, but I did bring some visuals. Everybody seems to like visuals. Dr. Carter uses them from time to time. I remember not too long ago he used a trash can. That's a good visual, amen? He used a jar with some beans and stuff in it. So this morning I brought with me a couple of visuals. Now, I am old school, so you know everything's going to have to be old school this morning. And the visuals that I brought are going to depend on your cooperation, or they won't work correctly. Now, the first visual we have, I'm going to have Brother James here. If you'll come over here, James. I'm going to have Brother James to show you the first visual, and it's pretty simple. There we go. It's pretty simple. Every now and then, he may raise one of these up for you, okay? That's old school, but it works, amen? All right, now this, Brother James, let's show him the other visual. I only brought two visuals with me. And this is the other one. Amen, there you go. That's pretty simple. Now we're all together on that, amen? Thank you, Brother James. All right, we're just kidding. We're not going to use those visuals. But who says you can't have fun in the Lord's house? That's right. So anyhow, preacher last week stated that we need to get back to praying and trusting in the Lord. And my soul, that's one thing we do need to do. We need to pray. And when he said that the other night, that kind of it set on my mind the book of Philippians, which is I run to it for rescue every chance I get, you know. And it just really lifts me up. And so what I want to teach on this morning is Philippians chapter 2. But in order to teach what I want to show you this morning, which is just a few verses in chapter 2, in order to show you what I want to lay on you, what God laid on my heart, I want to share with you. I need to go back to chapter 1. And we don't have time to read all of chapter 1. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to give you a brief outline of chapter 1. And prayerfully, that's going to take up most of our time this morning. Because I got to figure in the time. I got to stop here and start there. And that's kind of difficult in this situation when you've never done it before. So we're praying that that's going to use up most of our time. And then we'll teach chapter 2. I'm just going to try to be honest with you folks, okay? All right, and first thing we have to do, we have to kind of set the scene here. We got to remember, Paul is incarcerated. Paul's in prison when he's writing the book of Philippians. Now, Paul gives us the marks of a healthy church, and that's what we're going to review this morning. He sets the example himself, the example of discipleship, in which we can see with him and young Timothy. Paul kind of took Timothy under his wing, and he's teaching him the ropes. He's showing him around. He's showing him the do's and the don'ts of the ministry, and he's training young Timothy. And that's what we need to look at today. When we see that, we need to look at ourselves as elders in the church, and we need to look at the example that Paul has set for us, and we need to follow that same example. It's so, our young folks are so important. You remember the other night, preacher said that without our young folks, we don't have a next Christian generation. You know, and I had never really thought about that before, but that's so true. And it's up to you and I in the church as the elders. Hey, if you and I don't grab somebody and get them under our wing and train them and teach them, who's going to? The world's not going to. You can't depend on the schools outside. They're not going to. The colleges certainly aren't. So it's up to us. And I know many of us say, well, you know, my children's grown, you know, and that's fine. Grab somebody else's child. Hey, we bring them in by the busloads this morning. Hey, I just brought in about 20 of them on the little bus I was driving this morning. And we have teenagers in there, and they need discipleship. And that reminds me, Brother Case has started a discipleship program right here at Landmark. You can get with Brother Case and get up with him and see if he's got a young lad that he can put you with that you can disciple and train. Hey, it's so important that we get somebody under our arms and teach them about the Lord Jesus. Teach them the doctrines and the truths of this book. It's important that we do that. And if we do that, then we can assure ourselves of another generation to come. And if we don't, folks, we're falling off quick. You know, the Christians, I don't know, it's like they eat their young, you know? I mean, it's just, we're shrinking. And we should be growing, but if we don't follow the commandments that God's laid down for us, we're not going to grow. You know, we can sit here, each one of us can sit here this morning, and we can look around the room, and we can point at somebody else and, hey, that person can do the job. That's not the way we're going to get it done. Paul gave us an example. Paul himself took Timothy under his wing. And that's what we need to do. We need to grab somebody. The next thing we see is that Paul calls himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word servant in Greek, we're going back to the Greek now, the word service in Greek means bond slave. And there's a difference between being a servant and being a bond slave. Now, naturally, Paul is free. We understand that. He's incarcerated right now, but he was a free man. But at the same time, he considered himself a servant, a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? A servant is free to serve work for anybody he chooses to. A bond slave has to work for whoever owns him. So when Paul considers himself to be a servant, Paul is saying that he's sold out to God. Paul is saying that he was purchased with a price. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. They don't belong to us anymore. They belong to the Lord. And in 1 Corinthians 7:23, it says, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of man. We're to be the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the example Paul set. When Paul said he's a servant, he's a bond slave. He's sold out to God. That's another example that Paul is giving you and I. Each and every one of us, as believers this morning, should be sold out to God. Hey, we should be bond slaves to the Lord. We should be servants. And I don't know about you, but since I've been serving the Lord full time, I have never been happier in my life. God just blesses and blesses and blesses. It's just unbelievable. I can't tell you how much of a blessing it's been to be a servant of the Lord. And it just thrills my soul. And to stand here this morning and have an opportunity to teach Pastor Carter's class, I would have never dreamt that. That's such a blessing to me. And it's all because, hey, look, if you humble yourself and just open yourself to the Lord and just be a servant unto God, God will raise you up and put you where he wants you. You know what I'm saying? But we got to first be servants. And then we come to the next thing we see is that Paul talks about being saints. And saints means to be sanctified, holy, set apart, separated from the world, and to live for God. The word saint simply means to be set apart. You and I, we're not supposed to be part of the world. We're supposed to live a separated life. And Paul, once again, he gave us an example. He lived a separated life. You and I are to live separated from the world. Now, this is something that we as Christians in too many churches and too many places take too lightly. When we're to live a separated life, we're talking about our testimony. That's the most important thing that you and I have outside of our salvation is our testimony for Christ. And you and I, when we don't live a separated life, you know what that means? That means I'm supposed to dress like a Christian. And most of us in here, praise God, understand what that means. But there's a lot of churches today that their doctrine's so messed up because they don't follow the examples that Paul has given us right here in Philippians. We need to dress like Christians. We need to talk like Christians. And we need to act like Christians. And you know something? If we get this sanctified part, if we can get the separation part down pat, we get self out of the way and bring the Spirit of God into our lives, guess what? Everything else seems to take care of itself. See, when Christ lives inside of you and you have the love in your heart that Jesus showed and shared with you and I, when we share that with other people, things change. See, we're not going to win souls to the Lord by being mean to people or being ugly to people. We're not going to, you know, when I say we need to dress like Christians, we do. But then we're talking about us. We're talking about the believer. We can't expect the lost man to understand and know what we know. So when a lost man comes in, we're not supposed to down him. We're supposed to uplift. We're supposed to show the love that Christ showed us. I don't know about you, but Christ died for a sinner when he died for me. And each and every one of us need to keep that in mind. And we need to remember that we're all sinners except for Christ. It's his glory. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to keep in mind. And that's another example that Paul said here. Then we move on to verses 3 through 11. God gives us the marks of God's people, the marks of the mature believer. This is, again, part of what a healthy church is. Paul gives us an example here of a thankful heart. And now remember where Paul is. Paul's incarcerated. But at the same time, if you look in verse 3 right there in chapter 1, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. See, Paul is thanking the Lord for his brethren. How many times do we do that? Do we truly thank God for the brethren that we have? Hey, it's a blessing. We're not in this world alone. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. And we should be thankful for each and every one of them. Then we look and we have the marks of a good prayer life. Now, if there's any one thing that I feel like Christians are failing in today, it's a prayer life. You know, we walked in this door this morning. You know, prayer is about faith. You understand that? You know, the more you believe in your God, the more you're going to want to communicate with God, the more you want to talk and seek the presence of God. And when we walked in here this morning, by faith, we came in here, we walked in here, and we plopped ourselves down in these chairs. I didn't see anybody inspect any chair. You sat down and by faith, you depended on that chair supporting you. That's the way we came in the door this morning. Do you understand that if you and I put that much faith and that much trust in our God, we can move mountains? No doubt about it. We could accomplish anything for the Lord if we had that same faith. And that comes by praying. It comes by communicating with God. Now, how are we going to get closer to God? We got to read His Word. We got to study. Hey, the more I study, the more I learn, the more God reveals to me. It's such a blessing. Have you ever sat down reading your Bible and just cry because God revealed something to you? Oh, what a blessing. That only comes through studying. You can't pick your Bible up one time and read 2 or 3 verses and expect that to happen. But when you study God's Word and you get into it and you really study it, and as you begin to learn and God reveals things to you, and I promise you, Dr. Carter has forgotten more than I'll probably ever know. But at the same time, the little things, the little nuggets that I find in God's Word are such a blessing to me. And they can be a blessing to you. And all that starts with a prayer life. It's important. How can we expect God to bless Landmark here? How do we expect God to bless our bus routes and our radio ministry and curriculum and our colleges and our schools? We can't expect God's blessing upon that if we're not praying. And we need to be praying not just for one another, but we need to be praying for lost souls. Oh, there's so many lost souls out here. And it's up to us to seek those souls. It's up, God uses us for that. And all that starts with prayer. So Paul is mentioning prayer here. Then he goes on to the marks of joy. And you say, well, how can Paul have a joyful heart and he's in prison? See, that's the good thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's a joy. It's not a temporary joy like we have here in the world. See, things of the world are all temporal. But the joy of Christ is eternity. Hey, when you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you have a joy that lasts forever. It doesn't matter where you're at, what situation you're in, that joy is yours and it can't be taken away. That joy only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, that's the mark of a healthy church. That's the mark of a healthy church member. Then we move on to the fellowship. It's so important that you and I fellowship with one another. Hey, folks, we're not alone. We have brothers and sisters. We all have problems. Satan is out here wide open today. He's not cutting us any slack. He's steady working hard every day. But you and I have brothers and sisters in Christ. When we have problems, we have other people that we can turn to. Not only Christ Himself and God, but we have other brothers that we can turn to. Other brothers that we can talk to and work with. And we need to keep that in mind. And then we have the mark of the confidence of our salvation. Oh, my soul, I see so many people today who believe. You ask them, are you saved, going to heaven? They'll tell you, yeah. And you ask them how they know, they can't tell you. Or tomorrow, they have doubt. Folks, if you can trust God to save your soul, and if you truly believe that God can save you, then how can you not trust Him to keep you? Hey, He's going to keep you. He's got you in the palm of His hand. He's never going to let you go. You're His for eternity. That's a promise of God. That's such a blessed thing that we have. And we need to get a hold to that. You know, if the devil can sit on your shoulder and plant doubt in your ear, just a little doubt, just a little bit is all it takes, it will stop you from witnessing to somebody else. See, that's what the devil's plan is. The devil don't want you sharing the gospel as Paul's doing. Even right here in prison, Paul's in prison, and he's still sharing the gospel of Christ. Isn't that amazing? And you and I today, we'll find more excuses. We have more problems. You know, when I read through this, I just feel ashamed of myself sometimes. I mean, Paul, with all the problems that he's going through, he's still spreading the gospel. He still has a thankful heart. He still has a prayer life. He still has that joy in his heart. He still has fellowship. You know, if you don't have a brother to be fellowship with, you're always in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, when I read through this, I feel ashamed sometimes. And then we have the mark of a growing and discerning love. You know, that's something as believers and as Christians, we should be constantly growing, always growing in the Lord. And how do we do that? By reading and studying the Word of God. And that should be a constant thing. I mean, we shouldn't be in one place, like the preacher says, drinking milk all the time. We should be getting some meat, but we have to study the Word of God. And I know we all have busy lives. We have so many things we have to do. But if you don't have time to study the Word of God, then you're too busy. You need to slow down a little bit. And let me tell you something. I can speak from experience. I used to work 120 hours a week, minimum, every week. Done it for years, but I didn't have time to read God's Word. I was so busy working, trying to accomplish things that are temporal, things of the world. I wasn't living a separated life. But once I started living that separated life, and I started studying the Word of God, and I started reading, and I cut back on those worker's hours. Hey, I still work. I'm a workaholic, I guess. I still work. I work hard. But I always have time for God. He has blessed that. I live as comfortable today as I ever have, and work less than I've ever worked as far as hours go. So God's blessings does follow, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you just got to trust God for it. All right, that brings us down to the marks of righteousness, which is His righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none other. Then we go on to verses 12 through 19, and we'll see the marks of the mature witness. Again, Paul gives a personal example. He didn't grumble the whole time he was in prison. You don't read anything about Paul grumbling or complaining. He didn't question God or wonder why he wasn't in there. Lord, why am I here? That's not what Paul did. Paul sucked it up. He said, hey, this is where God's got me. This is where God wants me. I'll just make the best of a bad situation. And Paul just continued to serve God. He didn't murmur. He didn't whine. You know, today that would be a miracle, wouldn't it? I mean, really, don't we have it bad? I mean, seriously, turn your news on, turn the radio on, listen to what's going on around the world. Listen to what's going on with ISIS, and praise God. We're here this morning. There's nobody threatening us. You know, we're here. We can read the Word of God. We can study the Word of God, and there's nobody threatening to cut our heads off. I mean, this is good, and yet we still murmur and complain. That's the truth of it. That's where we're at today in our society. And why are we there today? Because we're not following the examples that Paul has given us. If we would turn to the book of Philippians and just read the richness, all the things that Paul has given us, and if we adhere to the instructions that he has given us here, it changes our lives. You know, we set aside all these problems that we have and turn our attention to where it's supposed to be, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have the marks of the Christian believer. And once again, Paul here, he gives an example. Paul says that it is to magnify God in his body. That's his greatest expectation, was to magnify Christ in his body. He had one great commitment in life and death, and that was Christ. He had one dilemma, that was to live or depart to be with Christ. He had one willingness, that was to serve sacrificially. That's where you and I need to be today. We need to serve sacrificially. Hey, we need to live that sanctified life that Paul's talking about. We need to live a separated life. We need to set all things aside, get all of our murmuring and complaining and crying done, get it all aside, and we need to serve God. And that's where we need, that's what you and I need to be doing today. Now this is going to bring us over into chapter two. Now this is where I really wanted to be, was the first four or five verses in chapter two, and the church at Philippi. Paul started that church himself. Now this was a pretty good sized church. It was a big church. I picture it to be kind of like Landmark here. Now Landmark's a good sized church, but we need to understand something. When you have a big church, I mean you have a lot of people. I mentioned several people this morning, all the doctors that we have around here. And that was just a handful. We have so many more. We have so many departments with the schools, the colleges. We've got the Christian radio station. We've got curriculum. We've got senior patrons. All the ministries that we've got going on. We have different people running each department. Now, when you have that many people, you usually end up with problems. Why? Because each one's assigned to do something. Each one of these people are thinkers. If they weren't thinkers and workers, they wouldn't be in the position they're in. They're workers. They're hard workers. And they're good thinkers. The problem that we have is just like here at Philippi, that's what Paul foreseen is coming. So Paul gives us this information. Now, you and I today, when we put all these people together and you have all this thinking going on, the problem is we have differences of opinions, don't we? See, one brother wants to do this, one brother wants to do this. It's not that one's right and one's wrong, but it's just that we have to do one thing. So when you have that, you end up with a lot of fighting and murmuring going on. And when, what happens? You end up with division among the church. Well, Paul was trying to teach against that. Paul was trying to show us that we need to be united in the church. So that's what chapter 1 was laying the foundation for. Now, as we get into chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "If there be therefore any consultation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies." That means compassion or comfort in the Lord. Now, what Paul was saying is, have you ever had any of these things? Well, folks, let me tell you something. If you've never shared any of these things, then you're probably not a Christian. Because if you're a Christian today, there's no way that you can be sitting in this room and not have shared one of these items that Paul's talking about. So Paul's talking about every believer, all of us together. What Paul was saying, if you've ever been comforted or enjoyed any of these things that he's talked about, then listen to the next verse. He says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord." See, there was Hondas in the Bible. "Of one mind." Of one mind. And what's Paul telling us? Paul's saying, if you've ever enjoyed any of these things, fulfill ye my joy. You see, Paul didn't know how long he was going to be here. As far as he knew, he was about to check out of here. He was about to be gone. So Paul was asking us, the brethren, if you've ever had any of these things, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Everything that we just talked about, all the instructions that Paul just gave us, he's asking us that we be united together as a church. We need to be of one mind. You need to understand this something, having the same love. Paul's demonstrated his love towards us, didn't he? How about the Lord Jesus Christ? When Jesus died, I don't know about you, but when Jesus died on the cross and he died for my sins, he died with his arms wide open. He demonstrated the love, didn't he? He set an example. You understand that Christ, when the Roman soldiers were driving the nails in his hands, Christ was dying for the very man that was driving the nail in his hand. You understand that? That's the love of Christ. That's what you and I are supposed to be seeking. You and I are supposed to be seeking the same mind, the same joy. We're supposed to be seeking the same love that Paul showed and that the Lord Jesus Christ showed. Now, how do we do that? We do that by getting self out of the way. We go back to the sanctified part in chapter 1, and we get self out of the way, and we live a separated life unto God. Then we can say that we live the same life of one accord, all together. Each and every one of us, we all need to be going the same direction with the same flow. Sometimes that means that we have to give a little bit. You know, we got two different opinions on something. Somebody's got to give. We can't have everything going five different directions. So in order to go one flow, sometimes we have to give a little bit. Does it really matter? Does it truly matter that we need to give a little bit? Does it matter whether we go my way or the way Brother Fickett wanted to go? As long as it's biblical and it's doctrinally correct, does it matter whose opinion that we chose to go by? Doesn't matter, does it? As long as we're all going in one direction to serve the Lord Jesus Christ for his honor and for his glory, and we keep all things in the right perspective. Then he goes on to verse 3. He says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself." Praise God. If we would just practice that in itself, lifting, uplifting, esteeming one another. In other words, it's not about me. That's what Paul's saying. It's not about me. It's about you. And if each one of us had that same attitude and we was uplifting the other persons rather than trying to tear them down, And exalting ourselves, we need to be humbling ourselves and raising them up. What did Christ do on the cross? He humbled himself, did he not? He left heaven, came to earth, and took on the form of a man, humbled himself to the death of the cross. That's the examples that we have before us, and that's the way we need to live our lives. Let nothing be done in strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind. Boy, oh boy. If we could get all that bitterness, all the strife, all the bitterness out of our hearts, and just trust and live, learn to love and live as the Lord Jesus Christ and by the examples that Paul set. He says in verse 4, he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, hey, that doesn't mean to go out and be a busybody. That's not what we're talking about. That's not talking about interfering in somebody else's business. But I tell you what it is talking about. You have problems in your lives every day, don't you? You have things that you have to deal with. You have a lot of things that you have to accomplish every day. Well, what this is talking about is helping your brother to accomplish their goals. If you got a brother that has a problem, we're supposed to help him as if it were us. Now, that's another thing that we're lacking in today. We don't help one another as we should. We should be helping one another. It doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter whether it's a light bill or a flat tire. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's driving a bus or whatever it is. Whatever we can do to help the brethren, we should be willing to do that. In verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's not self-centered, is it? The Lord Jesus Christ, he died, humbled himself, died on the cross for you and I. And that's where we need to be today. We need to humble ourselves before God and become servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to put self aside